isn't any god, and when you die, you're just dead. In heaven's just a fairy tale to put you to bed. Sometimes I think about the chance that I'm wrong, and then I close my eyes and just remember this song. I said there isn't any god, and when you die, you're just dead.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to the After Service Show. I'm your host, Reverend Jess, joined by absolutely nobody just yet. For those of you that don't know, the After Service Show is a companion podcast with the Church Absurd, and it's where I put bonus material from the Church Absurd or special little conversations between myself and someone else that is special to me. So, for those of you that don't know, I'm going to give you a little bit of context for how this whole thing came about. I have a main show, which is this one, the Church Absurd and the After Service Show, but also a second podcast called Acclaim and Shame, which is a movie podcast where we take a look at two movies, one that is critically acclaimed, one that is critically reviled. We look at the review scores, read some reviews, and get like quotes and stuff like that, and then we take a look at the movies, and it's essentially defending bad movies or movies that are perceived as bad, or shutting down movies that are perceived as good that we just don't get. And we, you know, we determine if the critics were right. It's a fun little show. We have a great time doing it. One of the most infamous film directors to ever walk this earth, as far as critics go, is Uwe Boll, who, for the record, I'm a big fan of. I've spoken with him, you know, not necessarily like we're not BFFs or anything like that. I reached out to him one time because I had some questions about some things. And he very kindly obliged. I cannot speak more kindly. I don't know. Whatever. If that's grammar. I cannot speak more kindly of Uwe Boll. He is a very kind person. But he put out a movie adaptation of what is easily one of my favorite video game series of all time, which was the Postal series, done by Running with Scissors. And I have a long history with the Postal series. Back when I was way too fucking young to play it, I would stay up at 2 in the morning on my computer when my parents were asleep playing Postal 2. And that eventually led to me playing Postal 1. I even played Postal 3 when it first launched. And yeah. And that has gone on. One thing, no matter how much shit changes in my life, I will always be a dedicated Postal fan. And I have seen the movie several times, and I enjoy it very much so. I think it's a very it's basically a love letter to the Postal series, while also trying to be a cohesive film. So I wanted to cover it on Acclaim and Shame, and I was doing research for it, and I found this little tidbit of information that was talking about the CEO of Running with Scissors, Vince Desi, personal hero of mine, how he wanted a different tone for the movie, which if you see it, it's very much a comedic movie. And they said that it was basically a more serious tone. So I was curious about that. And Vince Desi has his DMs widely open on Twitter. So I just sent him a message and I said, hey, you know, I had some questions. And I shot the questions to him. And he goes, I'm happy to discuss. And he sends me his phone number. He says, get in touch with me. We'll figure out a time to talk. So let me just preface this. I've been nervous as fuck about this phone interview because Vince Desi, like I said, is a personal fucking hero of mine. I think what he accomplished, his team, he and his team, what they accomplished with Running with Scissors and Postal is easily a beacon of hope for not only free speech, but also anti-censorship and the importance of having a good sense of humor, which I respect wholeheartedly. And because of that, they always resonated as just someone who was important in my developing, you know, developing my sense of humor that you hear on Church Absurd and stuff like that. Now, someone may say that that's a bad thing, but I disagree wholeheartedly. So I was nervous as fuck about making this phone call to Vince Desi. And, you know, I was trying to be as respectful as possible. The one thing I didn't want to do is waste his fucking time, because who the fuck am I? You know, I'm a fucking dumb kid. You know, I'm a 26 year old kid who has a fucking podcast, and he's a fucking CEO of a video game developer. You know, what time would he have for me? So I was very respectful. I said, please, you know, if you could just give me, I won't take up more than half an hour of your time. And yeah, I was nervous as shit. So I called, you know, I made sure I called on time, everything like that. And that's what you're going to hear today, is the phone conversation between myself and the CEO of Running With Scissors, Vince Desi. And I just want to preface this by saying, it's widely said that you should never meet your heroes, because you'll always be disappointed. I think Vince Desi is definitely an exception to that rule. I ended this phone conversation with such happiness that I really fucking needed recently, because I felt like I was talking to just a buddy, just a friend. And it's just, yeah, it's a little gay, but whatever. So yeah, I'm going to shut up now, because I know that it's not just my fans listening to this. I know for a fact that there's a good chance some postal fans are listening to this, and I apologize for talking. But yeah, so this is my phone call with the one and only Vince Desi from Running With Scissors. I'll shut up now.
Who's this?
This is Jess.
Hey, Jess, how you doing? I wasn't sure if it was you or not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's me. I have a Cleveland number, but it's I'm in Kentucky. I just recently moved down here like a couple years ago, and I'm lazy and don't feel like changing my number. You know how it is.
No, that's fine. I mean, now the numbers come in from all over the world anyway.
Oh, yeah,
I
definitely.
I just don't always like to answer, you know, because this is my personal number, but at the same time, it's pretty public.
Yeah. Well, I just want to, you know, preface this whole thing. I just want to let you know the conversation is being recorded, but if I put it up on like my after service show or anything, nothing's going to be edited or anything like that, so out of context or anything like that. I just want to give you my word on that.
Good. But don't put my phone number up.
No, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna open you up to like audience suggestions or whatever, you know. But But I just, you know, the reason I got in touch with you is because, you know, I mean, I grew up playing Postal and Postal 2 and stuff like that. And I had some questions about, you know, just certain things, because, like, you know, you've never been shy about, like, interviews and stuff. And, but there's, like, some questions that I'm curious about, you know, just in, like, research and stuff like that, because I'm working on a movie podcast right now. Where we were covering movies that were critically acclaimed or critically reviled, and we take a look at them, we compare them side to side, and then we also, you know, review the films and determine if the critics were right or if they just need to lighten up a little bit. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Yeah. So we're calling it Acclaim and Shame, and you know, obviously, you know, with Uwe Boll being the director of Postal and everything like that, he's got a notorious rep. You know, and his movies always get slammed by critics and everything like that. And because I'm such a big Postal fan, you know, obviously the movie of his to cover would be Postal. You know what I mean?
Right.
Especially because, like, we're planning on doing, like, a director's series and stuff like that, where we, you know, the best reviewed film versus the worst reviewed film of certain directors. So, you know, it would probably be, like, Rampage versus, you know, Postal or what have you, because a lot of times, you know, some of them were worse received, but at the same time, it's my show. I can do whatever the fuck I want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think good for you.
Yeah, well, and that's another thing. Don't be afraid to curse or anything like that. I saw on the Cyber Den, he kind of had you, you know, watch your language or anything like that. Don't worry about that here. Say whatever the hell you want. It's no problem for me. I'm not worried about demonetization because I'm not monetized anyway, you know. But yeah, so like first off, obviously we last year just celebrated 15 years of Postal 2. I'm curious, like, how does it feel to know that something like that is still, like, resonating in a huge fan base now nowadays?
I'll tell you, here's what makes it very interesting, and this is just pretty recent. I had some, and I don't know how, sometimes it's funny how things occur, like, you know, you get an email, or now people message me in different mediums, and it's almost like as though people are coordinating, I don't know, but not too long ago, I mean, as in within the past 2-3 months, I had several people write me that told me they've been playing Postal now, you know, for the first time.
Yeah.
Some they typically all everybody for some reason Postal 2 was the most popular. But here's the interesting thing: they said their father played the game. So these are kids that are 10, 12, even 15, and they were introduced. Either through their friends, somehow they heard, and then they're like, their father's like, oh, yeah, I love that game. I played that. Or even in some cases, their father's, you know, because, look, today, you're 30 years old, you play video games your whole life, and you might have a kid.
Yeah.
You know, that's 10 years old.
Yeah.
So it's pretty, that to me, you know, to kind of answer your question, that to me really kind of hit me. You know what I'm saying?
Because oh, yeah.
I was like, wow, I mean, That's kind of crazy. It's very, very cool, very honored. And it continues. I have people that write me that have been fans for a very long time. And then I have new people writing that, you know, it's always funny too when people say, look, I just played Postal for the first time, you know, recently. So it isn't an amazing, you know what it is? It's actually become, in the beginning, I thought it was somewhat of a cult. You know, I'm talking about from Postal 1 into Postal 2.
Yeah.
But now, with the history so long and so deep, it's taken on a life of its own. Yeah. I mean, there are, you know, real true Postal fans, you know, it's part of their upbringing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, you know, my history with Postal, my dad didn't play it. My dad was the one that refused to let me play it. Okay. So I had to, pay, you know, a buddy of mine who was, you know, older at the time and everything like that. He, you know, he had a brother that was like 17 and could go buy it. And then I paid him to buy it for me. And then it was like, you know, 2 a.m, I'm sitting in front of the computer in my room playing Postal 2 and stuff like that. And, you know, right. I had gotten my hands on Postal 1 at that point as well. And it's the one thing that I really like is it's sort of like the two ends of the extreme, basically, because like you got Postal 1, which is very, very serious. And then you have like, you know, some of the dark comedy elements like the marching band and everything like that. But then you have Postal 2, which is like strictly going for comedy. You know what I mean? And it's in like, I don't know, the best way I can describe the comedy in Postal 2, in my opinion, is like, sort of like, yeah, it's offensive, but it's so offensive that you can't take it seriously. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because part of our intention and original thought process was, I mean, you look at the cat silencer.
Oh, of course.
At some point, I mean, today, forget about it. I mean, think I was talking this conversation with somebody the other day. There's so many things, you know, the priest, the terrorist chicks, the Muslim chicks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Islamist references. I don't know today how it would go over. I mean, we've got the Me Too movement, the this movement, that movement. I mean, it's the world today is insane.
Well, at the same time, though, you know, you were like in the Cyber Den interview. I remember you saying that like the two places you don't go as far as like, you know, making light of is you know, rape and child abuse. So, I mean, you know, the Me Too movement probably wouldn't affect it too much, but you know, definitely, you know, nowadays where people get offended by everything, something like, you know, the terrorist wives or, you know, anything like that, they would just lose their goddamn minds. You know what I mean?
Listen, I mean, today it's almost like we need to have a transgender character, whatever. I look at it like this. Postal One was actually a creative effort on our part to simply make a game that we wanted to play. I mean, I've said it before, and it's true.
Yeah.
We used to have a Robotron arcade machine in the office, and we wanted a fast-paced shooter. And we didn't want to make a first-person shooter at the time. That's what was all the rage.
Yeah.
although, you know, Warcraft was out, and that was a great title. So, you know, for us, it was, and believe it or not, even though as dark as Postal One was, or people think, I thought it was funny. I mean, my sense of humor is pretty dark. So I thought it was hilarious. Like, you know, I said, oh, you know, I wanted fire because I loved fire. Because when I was a kid, I set a lot of shit on fire. and to me, then it was just like, okay, how many characters can we have on the screen? I mean, there was some technical issues. And when, because, you know, I'm on the creative design side and the marketing side. And I was like, okay, we could support that. Then I was trying to think of, well, what kind of large group can we set on fire? And then I just thought, oh man, it'd be great to have the marching band come down Main Street.
Yeah.
You know, and it's with the instruments, and it's hilarious.
Oh yeah. When it goes from like the instruments playing into just like everybody screaming, it's gold. It really is.
Let me tell you, I can remember the show. I think it was the second E3, and it was in Atlanta when we actually demoed it. It was hilarious. I mean, it got a lot of press, but people were loving it.
Well,
so for us, I never thought of Postal One as dark. I mean, there was a lot of interesting dialogue, you know, the script between the levels, et cetera. But I guess it's your attitude, you know?
Yeah.
My attitude was, we're doing this for fun, and it's over the top. It's all about being outrageous. You know, if it's outrageous, it's good.
Oh, yeah.
And then with Postal 2, we did make a very conscious effort because it was going to have, obviously, a different perspective. The times had changed. And we were just like, how can we make fun of her? You know, once we had, all right, we're going to put our own office in the game. We're putting ourselves in the game.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we're subject to anything else that anyone else, you know, has to bear, if you will.
Yeah.
I mean, I have fans writing me saying, oh man, I love the game. Please don't. I got to let you know. I piss on you. I mean, all, and I'm like, yeah. I mean, what game is there where you can write the developer and say you enjoy pissing on them?
I don't know. Maybe some German games. Who knows?
Right, probably, you know, but you know, it's good stuff. I mean, it's
well,
you know, hey, look, since you have a mature audience, I'll share this with you. I just thought it's because it just came up recently. I was going through some of my old photo albums, and a while back, this was Postal 2. Somebody sent me photos of their girlfriend with a dildo. Okay, but he took. We used to have these Postal 2 decals.
Yeah,
like you know, I don't know if you ever seen them, but years ago, we still throw stuff in the box. Like if you spy stuff from our store.
Oh yeah.
You know, we throw some stuff in, whatever little freebie stuff.
Oh yeah, well, anyway, and that's what makes it so special to get that stuff. I mean, you know, like at the same time, you know. Do I necessarily need a crotchy nut rag? No, but at the same time, it's nice to have it. I can hang it up on the wall. It looks nice, you know?
Exactly. Well, the thing now is, which, I don't know. I know we were almost sold out. We had to order more, was the crotchy mouse pads.
Oh, yeah. I saw those. Those are incredible.
I mean, they were great, and it's just comical. I mean, people have bought them and said, I don't even use a mouse pad, but I'm buying it.
Yeah.
So it's funny.
Well, that's the thing. It's like you said, it is very, it's almost cult-like in the dedication the fans have. I mean, you know, in all honesty, like, especially because, like, there's some stuff you have on there. Like, for example, the, you know, full-size Running with Scissors sign where, you know, for an extra $2, you know, you guys will shoot a couple bullet holes in it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, to me, like, I think that's so cool. You know what I mean? It seems like such a minute detail, but it's just like, you know, your fans are the kind of people that would want to have, oh, well, Vince Desi fucking shot this thing and so did Mike J. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like that's the thing. That was the one thing that I thought was really cool, was especially because, you know, I'm a big dude. You know what I mean? I'm a big fat bastard. So they didn't have a shirt in my size in the merch store. And I hit up Mike J, and he got a fucking custom T-shirt made for me, and everything like that. You know, like, and he was within minutes responding to me. You know what I mean? And like, that's one thing. Yeah.
What's interesting is over the years, I think being a consumer ourselves, we just have a different take on things.
Oh yeah.
You know, people with some of the best emails I get or letters people write. Some people actually even write me snail mail. It's pretty interesting. And they'll say how they take the, you know, oh, I've written, you know, so many developers, you're the only one that ever wrote back. You know, I grew up learning to say thank you. You understand?
Yeah.
And I can't always get back to people right away. I mean, it depends. Shit's going on. Sometimes it's, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But I've answered in the 20-plus years, I can't even tell you, thousands. But we'll put it this way. I've answered every inquiry. And now they come... not so much in email, they're mostly in Messenger or people, you know, privately messaging me with Twitter or on Facebook or whatever.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. You take the time to write people back. You know, it always blows me away how, you know, people become successful and they all of a sudden start believing in their own success.
Yeah.
That's not the world I come from. So, you know, for me, it's like I'm always down.
Well, and that's another thing. It's mainly like the one thing that I've always noticed, especially just from, like, you know, the bleeders, you know, interactions with people on Twitter and like on Steam forums and everything, whenever somebody's having an issue with a game, or like, for example, when that YouTuber Civvy11, you know, made a comment when he was making his Postal 3 video. And like, the one thing that you guys are honest, you know what I mean? You don't hide behind the PR, like, you know, I remember there was a, you know, there in the description, I think, of the Postal XX collection, you said, and Postal 3, I don't know why you would want it, but it's there. You know what I mean? Like to me.
Well, that's probably, I don't refer to things as happy or sad, but in terms of ups and downs, you know, Postal 3, we lost control of the project.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it never should have come out. I didn't endorse it from the very beginning. There were people that bought it in Russia and never played. It couldn't play. It didn't work. And there's no such thing as getting your money back in Russia.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know,
that
was really, you know, that just was not the right way to do things. You know?
Well, I mean, at the same time, though, you know, once it got out of your control and everything like that, I mean, I don't think anybody blames Running with Scissors for Postal. They blame Trash Masters and everybody else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, in all honesty, I mean, at the same, like, at least you have the balls to come out and be like, yeah, it was bad. And you know what? At the end of the day, it came out. There's nothing we can do. But you know what? Here's DLC for Postal 2, you know, 13 years later. You know what I mean?
Well, that was a big reason. We were like, what can we do? Okay, because we didn't want to sit on Postal 3 as our latest work.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just so you know, when we originally entered into the deal to do Postal 3, we were responsible for the design, okay, the 100% design, character, the script, character development, all key creative aspects, okay?
Yeah, like the voice work, everything like that.
Yeah, all that. They were going to do all the coding. We were doing level design. But then over time, what happened was, and to be fair, the folks at Akella, the original, they were good people.
Yeah.
But their economy collapsed.
Oh, yeah.
And they lost their business.
Yeah.
I mean, so it wasn't like their intention was to make... in the beginning, it was great. You know, things were going smooth. And then they got the first economic collapse, and the whole team in Russia got wiped out. Then they hired a B team, okay? Then the B team got wiped out. By the time the product came out, I think the fucking fat lady, Bushka lady making the soup in the kitchen, she was probably doing the QA, if not fucking doing the anime. I'm not kidding.
She was the play tester while making borscht, you know?
Yeah, so, and that's why it was like, it really, and we didn't even see the final, so-called near-completed final version. They held it back from us almost the entire last year of development. We had nothing to do with it. We didn't think they were going to come out with it. We thought it was just a bust. Because, you know, at some point, sometimes you got to, you know, if you're cooking and you burn something, you throw it away. You don't serve it.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? Hey, that was then.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, you moved on from it, and Paradise Lost was fucking incredible. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
No, that was a lot of a heartfelt energy, and here's something else. Most of the Running with Scissors team is made up of people that were fans, that were modders, that worked with us as interns, that then over time, and became even partners. Okay,
yeah.
So from the very beginning, I viewed Running with Scissors as a club. I mean, it's not exactly a democracy, but, you know, yes, it's a business, but I've managed it like a club.
Yeah.
There were original founding members, there's active members, there's inactive members, and then there's some people I just fired because they were no good.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a different approach.
Well, I mean, I think it's working for you. I mean, in all honesty.
Look, we have now... I mean, look, we're still, you know, we're making new things. We're working on a new title. And I don't know when it's going to come out. I don't even, I wouldn't even predict.
Yeah, well, I remember Mike J on Cyberden, he had mentioned that it's VR related.
Like, well, the VR, I stopped that project.
Oh, okay.
Because we were sinking into it. You know, it was a lot of fun. You know, the guys want that, you know... Part of it, too, is when you have a team and you finish a project like Paradise Lost, it's like, okay, let's do something. You let people basically exercise their creative freedom and try to come up with something. And we worked on something, but the whole VR market didn't take off. The numbers don't support it. You know what I mean? We're a small, truly indie developer.
Yeah.
And, you know, without the assistance of companies like Valve, et cetera.
Yeah.
You know, they got the deep pockets. They can keep going. But VR for an independent studio is more than we could swallow. So I look at it like this. We have it. It's in suspension mode.
Okay.
You know, I would love someday to return to it because it's got a lot of, you know, Running with Scissors humor. It's non-postal.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember because
suspended that.
Yeah, I remember you said you guys said on that interview where you were like, we don't know when a new postal is coming out, but you know it will come out eventually, but we just don't know when. You know?
Yeah, and, we are right now. Postal is alive and well in the studio.
Yeah,
but I don't know when it's going to come out. You know, it's a living creature.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like if today, later in the afternoon, I'm driving and I get an idea, it's going to come up tonight or tomorrow in the next conference call.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like the postal itself as a creative work, if you will, a body. And now it's truly a body of work. It's a living, breathing thing. You know, people said to me, oh, Postal 1 was isometric, then Postal 2, third person. Excuse me, first. And now then you went to third person with Postal 3. Where are you going? Look, I don't ever want to have rules.
Right.
You know, and like I said, the only two things are, you know, I don't think there's any need in any game to have, you know, raping women and abusing children. There's just no need for that in the game. I mean, I don't know. Some people today would say, look, I'm a libertarian, so anything goes.
Yeah.
But I still have my own. That's it, you know. So as far as
you still have standards, you know, of common decency, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Thank you. Common decency, which, you know, today I'm not sure there's much left, but you know, that's where I draw the line.
Oh yeah, I completely understand that.
Yeah, it's an ongoing process.
Well, and that's the one thing that I wanted to mention to you before we get into like the postal movie stuff. You know, the one thing that I've really taken away from, you know, replaying through the postal games and everything like that is how important they are for their time and today. Because for their time, especially, you know, Postal 2 specifically, with the, you know, over the top comedy, like I said, offensive to the point where you can't take it seriously and everything like that. It was very important for the time because, you know, we were less than 2 years out from 9/11 at that point. And, you know, same thing with like what South Park did with their Bin Laden episode. Everybody was so serious that it was kind of nice to laugh again, you know. And,
well, you know, one of the parts I liked was the cheating, the chads or whatever, the voting.
Oh, yeah. You
know? I mean, you know, it's all absurd.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, Champ, well, God rest his soul, he's buried in my yard.
Yeah.
You know, Champ in the game was like basically taken from the real Champ. You know, he's.
Yeah, his picture shows up at the beginning of Postal 3 and everything like that. It's very, yeah, it's very just, spot-on resemblance, you know?
You know, it's I mean, it's the kind of thing where, you know, we had some people like, oh, my God, you're going to shoot. People got to realize this is a game,
yeah.
Okay? And before it's a video game, I think of it as a game. And I'm older, and I grew up. What is the essence of a game? A game, the first thing that distinguishes a body of work, why is it there's a movie, there's a television show, there's a book, there's a song, there's a game. Well, guess what? A game is something you play.
Yeah.
You don't just watch, you play.
Yeah.
And in games, at least from my generation, you play to win.
Yeah.
There's winners and there's losers. There's no trophy for losers.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, in terms of like, you can do anything you want in a game because it's not real.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I agree with you totally. And you know what? Even Postal 1 is important because of, you know, that's right around the time that like Rotten.com launched. It's sort of like a protest against internet censorship and stuff like that and censorship in general. And in all honesty, like, you know, you say that, you know, you were making it because you were, you know, it was a game that you wanted to play. So you made it. But it kind of took on a life of its own where it became sort of like the symbol of like, you know, anti-censorship because,
oh yeah,
you know, and like, not to mention that, like, it's funny because the newspapers make it out so worse than it a lot worse than it actually is, because like,
oh, yeah,
they never, all they pay attention to is you're walking around, you're killing people, but what they don't pay attention to is that in order to clear the level, it says you have to kill this many hostiles. The hostiles are the people with guns, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
and
right.
Like, that's the thing, they never pay attention to that. And it's funny because like, not only you guys have come under that scrutiny, but Rockstar has too. But the one thing I respect about you guys is you have the balls to like respond. Rockstar is like very well known for not talking to the press and everything like that, and like not issuing a statement. But like, I love the story of you getting on the phone to Wall Street Journal and threatening to like throw the phone down the guy's throat.
You know, the sad thing about that was true. I mean, you know, I was younger. All these interviews was like such a new thing to me. I was like, wow, this is crazy. The Wall Street Journal wants to interview me. I'm like, this is cool. You know what I'm saying? Quite frankly, I was nervous. You know, so when I took the phone call, I'm doing it, the whole bit. I was excited as hell. And then when the paper came out and I seen what the hell, I was like, I didn't say somebody, I mean, I couldn't believe it. And I called this clown up and I said to him, like, what are you doing? You didn't even ask me some of these questions. And he goes, well, we fill in and make out the story. I said, you didn't fucking play the game. There's no, And then he was going, oh, you know, with some journalistic privilege. That's when I just went off on the dude.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. I told him, I said, look, I come to fucking New York every month. I said, I'll find you. I'll find you in your cubicle. You know? That was great. Of course, about 50, I don't know, it was 10, 15 minutes later, I had the fucking FBI at the office. Yeah, it was amazing. He immediately reported it, and I guess they thought it was, I don't know, some threat or some shit.
Yeah, well, and you know, like you said, like you had mentioned previously, where it's like, because of all the controversy, you know, you were a little bit like bummed out because, you know, how am I going to feed my family, everything like that, you know, because it does affect the sales quite a bit. But like it seems like eventually, you know, you guys as a company, like as a whole, have gotten to the point where it's, you know, it's become sort of like a badge of honor, like the 0% review and everything like that. And to me, I think it's very punk rock, you know, for lack of a better term. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's and like that's something I can definitely appreciate. Well,
you know what the funny part about all of this is? None of it was done intentionally. All we wanted to do was make a cool game.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you how today with the media and all the more today with the internet and social media, you could fart and the world hears it, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so different. There is no more privacy.
Yeah.
Okay? At all. At all.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
I
totally understand. Everything is like, and that's kind of why I think the world and specifically myself and my buddy Angry Ducky and my buddy Larco, we think that Postal 4 is definitely needed in this day and age, at the very least, to show people that like getting offended over the smallest bullshit is just, it's not a good thing to do. You know, if anything, it's like, you know, we'll show you how ridiculous you can actually be. You know what I mean? And, but at the same time, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, so let me move into the movie question stuff.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously, you know, you did this project with Uwe Boll, and you were producer on it. I read somewhere that it was saying that you wanted something more akin to like the first Postal game as far as like tone, but Uwe Boll wanted strictly like the comedy and like the stuff from like Postal 2. What was your original like vision for like Postal the movie?
We wrote a treatment.
Yeah.
And we gave it to Uwe, and it had a lot of humor. I mean, it was more of a combination of Postal 1 with Postal 2 humor.
Okay, so something like a Tarantino like grindhouse type of movie where it's like
definitely more your Pulp Fiction humor. You know how Pulp Fiction is dead serious, but at the same time, like the guy's in the car,
the
gun goes off accidentally, and they shoot him.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know, that's that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that was what I wanted, and that's what I thought would have gone over better, because German humor. And in the movie itself, which I think is a lot, I mean, I've watched it several, I actually only watched it about a month ago for the first time in a couple of years.
Yeah.
It's a lot better than I think it got criticized for.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's what my whole movie podcast is about is, you know, because I think critics are full of shit most of the time.
Yeah. And well, you know, let's get more specific, but you know, for me, and I said this before, the game the movie was too long. There were some scenes that just went on and on. And then some people talk about German humor is very different than, say, American humor.
Yeah.
That didn't bother me so much because Uwe's a funny guy. He's a great guy, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great guy. Very intelligent.
I've spoken with him briefly. Guy. Yeah. He's a very kind guy once, you know, especially.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because he loves talking about his own movies specifically, like about the production stuff.
Listen, he's a character in his own right.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, you know, to me, you know, but look, he had the creative control. And when we were up there, I had a lot of fun making the movie. I mean, I'm not a filmmaker.
Yeah.
You know, so as a consumer watching it, I just thought there were some scenes that were just, I would have cut them out or just I would have edited them differently.
Yeah.
The pace of the movie. I think the pace of the movie could have improved.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the thing. A lot of times with German cinema in general, it does have sort of like that lingering feeling, I guess would be the best way to put it, where, you know, some scenes may feel a little bit long. But at the same time, you know, German director, what can you expect? And in all honesty, like, I do think that it's, you know, like, don't get me wrong, it's by no means, you know, an Oscar winner or anything like that, but it's not, it doesn't feel like it's meant to be, you know what I mean? It feels like, it feels like a love letter to the Postal series while also trying to be a cohesive movie, you know what I mean?
Something like that.
You know, like, that's the best way I could try and describe it, but it's a very interesting experience to go through, definitely. And, you know, when you get the Postal on DVD, you end up getting a free copy of Postal Share the Pain, or Postal Tube Share the Pain. So, you know,
right.
You know,
right.
That works out perfectly. So, like, if like it was in the budget, would you had, you know, wanted to actually do Postal 2? Because I know Uwe was trying to do, you know, the Kickstarter for it, and that didn't go down as well.
Well, I didn't, you know, Uwe approached us and I said, yeah, go for it. But I didn't think it was going to fly because, quite frankly, because of him. He's just too much of a negative magnet.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's promoted himself as how he's funded his movies in the past, et cetera.
Yeah.
You know, the German gold and all of this.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was the right property, you know, tied to Postal for a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
You know, I think for Kickstarter to work, I think you need to have a lot of originality, sincerity, genuinity, you know, because people want to believe in what they're donating towards, what they're, you know, what they're helping fund.
Yeah.
And, you know, Uwe is very commercial.
Yeah.
And so I didn't think it would fly, and it didn't fly.
Well,
but,
did you
I've had other people approach me about a year ago. Somebody approached me about doing a postal episodic thing for TV, for cable. And that's been, you know, it's kind of like a slow going conversation.
Yeah, I mean, that could be interesting.
Look, the Postal is perfect for cable. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
You know, you get, I mean, I like a lot of, you know, I mean, look, from your Breaking Bad to Ozark, you know, I mean, I was a Game of Thrones fan. I watched it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I could just see the Postal world, the Postal dude, you know, going week to week, you know, in his life. It's just makes sense to me. So I think I would love to see that, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially with AMC's show Preacher, you know what I mean? A lot of the humor that's shown off in that show is very kind of like Postal-esque.
Yeah.
And like, yep. and that plays well, you know what I mean? Like, my wife and I watch that show like religiously, so I would watch a Postal show like you wouldn't believe, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think it could, done right, I think you'd have quite an audience because you know, Postal, when presented in its in a clarity way, it's got everything. It's, you know, it's human. You know what it is? Postal is an expression of human nature.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And that means to me, everybody could find something they could relate to. You know, in the early beginning, somebody said, I mean, I was talking 20 years ago, oh, what's the character's name? The Postal Dude. No, what's the character's name? No, the Postal Dude. Why? Because why? Well, everybody has had a shitty day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's so, like, and it's how do you get through your shitty day? That was part of the whole thing.
It's like the quote from the Joker in The Killing Joke. It's, you're just one bad day away from being me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's what that reminds me of. And not to mention that, you know, with all the, with all like the whole, you know, thoughts that everyone has, you know what I mean? Where it's just like, you know, you think about someone and you're just like, oh man, I would love to hit them in the face with a shovel right now, but I can't because it's, you know, I'm in real life and I'll go to jail. But, you know, in Postal 2, you can hit whoever you want in the face with a shovel.
I'm telling you, man, if I could afford it, I'd love to make postal shovels. and fucking do a licensing deal with Home Depot.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing. I would buy one.
That'd be the best.
I would buy two of them and then hang them up on my wall with a running with scissors sign and just like a skull and crossbones.
Yeah, no, I would love to have a postal shovel.
Oh my God. All right. Well, I am well over the time that I told you this would take, and I apologize for that.
Well, anything else specific? I'm about to go get a haircut with my son.
Okay.
But we got to, I mean, let's take advantage of now. So is there anything else you'd like to ask? Anything specific? Let's do another 15 minutes if you want.
Oh,
and then
absolutely.
I don't care how you edit it. I mean, cause we've been having a lot of general conversation. So
yeah, I was just going to, upload the whole thing. Cause like what I do is, on the show that I sent you a link to, I do like an after service show where it's like, it's not like a main episode, but it's, it's like after the show where instead of like the three co-hosts, it's just me and whoever I bring on and everything like that. And, we just sort of have like a base conversation about whatever. And, basically I would just upload the whole conversation on there.
Well, listen, I just thought of something that we were touching on earlier in the conversation. I was telling you about the fan that sent me the photos of the postal dildo.
Yeah.
I want to complete that story because it's truly a treasure.
Oh, yeah. I am listening with bells on,
I had sent, we had these postal decals, postal two decals. They went with the box, whatever. So this fan bought a dildo, and he put the decal on the side of the dildo. And this dildo had to be a fucking, because the decal was every bit of 6 inches.
Yeah.
So this dildo had to be like a good 8-9 inch dildo.
Yeah.
Anyway, he sends me these pictures, and now this is the best part. I don't know who he is. I never spoke or wrote to him before. I get an email. It's a love letter. Hi Vince. Pa pa pa. I open up the image, and there is his girlfriend with a postal dildo sticking out of her pussy. Okay.
Oh my God.
Now, I'm looking at this thing to myself, damn, it's like that fucking, what the fuck? I mean, it was beautiful. And then, of course, there was another photo with the dildo sticking out of her ass.
Yeah.
I mean, it was beautiful. So, I mean, I don't know. I just thought of. I just realized I hadn't finished that story.
It's a. It's some double postal penetration, if you will.
Oh, double penetration. Yeah, absolutely. Double penetration postal. Amazing. I mean, it was beautiful. And I can be a bit technical at times. I'm saying to myself, man, what about the decal? I wonder, did it come off? Did it come back on? She's sucking the fucking dildo cock. I mean, what the fuck is going on here?
You just can't help it. You can't help but think to yourself, do we have those stickers tested for toxicity?
You can't make this stuff up. And this is one of the reasons why people send me, well, what do you like about, what the best part of what I do is interacting, with fans. And people in the press like yourself, whom are fans, not the, the chokers, the people that just call to complain.
Yeah. Yeah,
but,
definitely.
I mean, you can't make this stuff up, and I just say to myself, look, we've made an impact. This guy went out, got a dildo, put the decal on, and stuck it in his girlfriend's ass and took a picture and sent it to me. That's a beautiful thing.
You're just like, now we've made it.
Really. That I was like, that to me was like, hey. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Another question, please.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm laughing at the idea of like how the thought process went for those two. And she's like, you want me to do what? Oh, man. Okay. I meant to ask you, was there any fun stories from like the set of Postal specifically, like on the movie?
A lot. here's one off the top of my head. I was there, I don't know, a couple days. Well, I must have been there about 2-3 days, and then it was going to be my my scene that I was going to do. And they had said to me, you got to do your makeup, whatever. I said, okay, I'll go do the makeup. And then they couldn't find me And they were like, well, we went to your trailer. When they finally, you know, I finally showed up. They were like, oh, we went to your trailer. I was like, my trailer? Jess, I was on the set 3 days before I even knew I had one of those trailers with a star in my name on the trailer door. I had my own trailer. I'm a regular kind of guy. You know, understand what I'm saying? I'm from Brooklyn. I'm down. I've had all kinds of fucking jobs. Yeah. All right. So I said to myself, this is hilarious. I'm the producer on this film. I got a trailer. I didn't even know it. So immediately, once I knew I got the trailer, I got Mike J. And we had the super pot from, you know, we were up in Vancouver. So I said, fuck, let's go. We went to the trailer and we started puffing away.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just off the top of my head. It's a funny story because I didn't even know I had a trailer.
I'll tell you what, man. As you know, a typical average Joe, because, you know, regardless of, you know, any, you know, like any like social, like no matter how many people know your name, you're still just a regular guy. You know what I mean? And that's only natural where you're just gonna be like, why would I have a trailer? You know what I mean?
Well, I just thought of it as I'm only in one scene and, you know, whatever. I never even thought about it. Never even thought about it.
That's fucking, you know, great, Vince, man. Like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, you know. So, but otherwise, I forgot who. There was another one I was on the set, and I forgot who. Somebody in the press from Hollywood asked me. They were doing an interview, like in between, and they asked me, "How does it? You know, what's it like? To be." You know, to have the, you know, have the biggest balls, you know, because I was in the crotchy suit.
Yeah.
And I said something like, look, you know, it's great. You know, I've got the biggest balls in Hollywood, but I'm not a prick, you know. And she kind of looked, she just looked at me like, what? You know, and I was like, whatever.
Like, do you not understand comedy, woman?
Yeah, I will tell you just one last, since you want to movie stories. We were staying in this hotel where like all the movie stars stayed, because, you know, Vancouver is a big, you know, big town for shooting movies. And so I had this big suite. I mean, it was amazing. It was like really fantastic. They treated me like royalty. It was great. So we're up there in the suite, you know, smoking, drinking, banging. You know, I got the who is there, the whole bit. And it was just out of control because, you know, I'm just like, it was just a funny time. It's like if you could take that capsule, you know, that one night, it was just kind of crazy. You know, my attitude was, look, we're making a movie. I want the full works.
Yeah.
I want the sluts. I want it all, you know?
Yeah, you know, because that's what per diem's for, you know, coke and whore money.
I'm telling you.
Oh, man. You know, like, I can only imagine. The big question, though, is do you still have the crotchy suit?
Dude, it's in my basement, of course.
Perfect.
I wore it a couple of years ago for Halloween. I go, you know, usually in the morning I'm up early. I juice. I go to the gym with my best friend of mine who, you know, lives in Arizona. He's from New York. And then we go to this breakfast joint. And it's a pretty liberal joint, you know, professor types, it's near the University of Arizona, whatever. But I love the people there. It's a great place.
Yeah.
Anyway, that Halloween, I didn't go to the gym. I put the crotchy suit on. My friend picked me up because he had a big car, you know, and we went into the restaurant. I was in full crotchy gear with the cock head on, the whole bit, sat down at the table. I mean, it was hilarious. I loved it. I couldn't eat through the thing, though. I had to take the head off.
I mean, it's worth it just for the visual. You know what I mean?
Oh, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. No. Well, you know, you have fun. You know, it's like, you know, to me, I was like, oh, my. It just made perfect sense. It's Halloween. I got the fucking crotchy suit. Let me put it on.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's to me, like, I think crotchy at this point is, you know, almost more of a symbol of, you know, of Postal 2 than anything. You know what I mean? Like any part of the game whatsoever. It's the best representation is Krejci. You know what I mean?
I'm telling you, Krejci's got to go mobile. I think
I think so too. You know, have you guys ever thought of making like a side scroller game that stars Krejci?
Well, you know, here's the thing. We, being a truly an independent studio, we're self-funded. I mean, I literally have taken numerous equity loans on my house to keep payroll going.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done well financially over the years, but we've done it and we reinvest. We take care of the team. You know, we haven't had the GTA success where we're all driving exotic cars kind of thing. Okay. That's not been the case.
Yeah.
So we have to kind of pick and choose. And right now, you know, I made the decision a while back after we killed the VR. We are deeply committed to delivering a new Postal. And that's where, you know, my creative energy goes and the team is devoted. So, and it's not like we have a B team or a C team and I could, you know, we're working on, you know, Postal 4 and the other guys are working on Krejci, you know, the side scroller.
Yeah.
No. But I mean, in between, we'll see. I mean, I definitely, you know, Krejci, you know, is important. There's no doubt about it.
At the very least, just in Postal 4 somewhere, just have an arcade machine that you can like activate like as a mini game and play like a Krejci side scroller. You know what I mean?
Postal without Krejci is like a dick without balls. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So we're gonna basically have no fear.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. Okay.
When is this? Listen, when is this podcast going to show?
Well, it'll be because, like I said, I'm going to take sections of it from for the movie podcast when we cover Postal, but I'm going to upload the full conversation within the next couple days because it's a very easy editing job for me.
All right.
Yeah.
Just send me the link. Send me the link so that way we, I'll put it up on our site.
Oh yeah, dude, definitely. I 100%, man. And I do want to say thank you so goddamn much, Vince. You don't know how much of a fucking honor it is to talk to you. Cause like I said, I mean, you made my childhood and you guys basically formed a good threshold for my sense of humor, you know, basically an understanding that, you know, sometimes getting offended by something is, kind of stupid because, you know, it's so offensive, like you can't take it seriously. And it really did shape a lot of like the darker humor I'm into. And
it's the honor really is mine and on behalf of the team. I mean, what better, can I hear or feedback can I get than what you're saying? I mean, look, we put our heart and soul into it. It's very obvious.
Yeah.
And the fact that it resonates and even satisfies and influences and makes people look, I've had people write me and tell me all kinds of things, man, I've been fucked up. You know, my girlfriend, I was getting high, I whatever. And just so many things that are real that we all go through in life. And to think that a little form of entertainment, that little bit can help somebody get through the day. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's the best. That's dildo, man.
Yeah. It all comes back to the dildo.
Maybe that'll become a new adjective. It's not cool. That's dildo.
I love it. That's perfect. Like, you know, and then I'll be sure to, like, when Postal 4, you know, finally does drop, whenever it does, my first review will be like 5 stars and then just it's dildo. You know what I mean?
It's dildo. Go dildo. I'm telling you, man. It's like go Postal. Subtitle should be go dildo.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect.
Oh, man.
I love it.
Now all day I'm going to have flashbacks of that fucking photos.
Like Vietnam War flashbacks, you know, just all of a sudden you're just going to pause and just like flash in front of your eyes. Oh, man.
I'm telling you, man. You got to, well, I'll dig it up. You know, shoot me an email. What can I say? Maybe I'll surprise your inbox.
Hey, go for it, man. You know, I'll make it my screensaver, and my wife will have a million fucking questions.
I'm sure she will.
Oh, man. Hey, Vince, I want to thank you so much.
No sweat, but listen, my best to you and your team and your wife, and I don't know if you have children. God bless.
Yeah, thank you.
You take it easy, and we'll be in touch, man, all right?
Thank you, sir. And that is words from the head of the VD clan, Papa Desi.
Yeah. You got it.
Thank
Go
you.
Dildo.
Go Dildo. Thank you so much, Vince. You have a great day, and save my
take
number,
care.
Man. If you ever want to chat, just hit me up.
Absolutely. Take care, man.
Be good,
all
brother.
Right, bye.
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 And that concludes my interview with Vince Desi of Running With Scissors. I don't think I can put it into words how much that interview meant to me. I, you know, as I said, you know, they say don't meet your heroes. And that hour of talking with him proved that wrong to me. He is easily one of the kindest people I've ever met. Just so willing to spend some more time. The fact that, you know, I tried to be so respectful of his time and not waste any of it. And the fact that when I went over that time, he says, let's do 15 more minutes. I mean, who does that? Especially someone who, he doesn't know who the fuck I am. He has no, he owes me nothing. And he was willing to give me 15 more minutes of his time. And that's just, it's baffling to me, folks. Especially nowadays, you don't find that. Nowadays, it's, you know, I don't have it in my schedule. I don't have time, but this dude made time, and I you got to respect that. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. So be sure to follow Running With Scissors on Twitter. They are at RWS Bleeter, BLEETER. Follow him personally at Vince Desi. These links are all in the description. And you know what? Head over to runningwithscissors.com. Check out their shop. Purchase yourself a crotchy mouse pad. The postal dildo is not available to purchase, but you can buy the crotchy mouse pad and, you know, like I said, one of those full-size Running With Scissors signs with a couple bullet holes shot through. And you know what? Play their games. Share them with everyone, because these guys at Running With Scissors deserve support and they deserve success, because as they said, they were just trying to make a great game that they wanted to play, and it is a game that has brought joy to so many fucking people. So yeah, I apologize for my nervous tells, as you can hear in the interview. I say you know what I mean a lot when I'm nervous. But, goddamn, Vince fucking Desi. All right, folks, I'm going to stop wasting your time with my talking. And I thank you so much for listening to that interview and listening to what is easily one of the most rewarding conversations in my life. And, yeah, until next time, folks, this is Reverend Jess signing off, saying have a great day, and yeah, go dildo.
There isn't any God, and when you die you're just dead. In heaven's just a fairy tale to put you to bed. Sometimes I think about the chance that I'm wrong, and then I close my eyes and just remember this song. I said there isn't any God. In heaven's just a fairy tale to put you to bed. There ain't nobody watching us, cause nobody cares. And in the end, we're living all alone.
This has been a Fat Lulz Radio production. To hear more shows like this, go to soundcloud.com/Fat Lulz Radio.
A very special thank you going out to Rusty Cage for the use of his song, There Isn't Any God, off of the album Rusty Cage Volume 4, Gang Stalkers, available physically and digitally through rustycagemusic.com.